Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Monday. It's Carl and Linda Bott, and we're going to have quite a week this week. We're joined again in the studio by Bad Bob, who made it back.
Absolutely, and glad to be back.
You know what, though, Bob? I think you could take off that Elvis costume, though. You know, I think the spangles, I think the little belly band there, and the sideburns are just a little bit too much for me this Monday morning.
Not the look, okay.
Okay, well. And, of course, I'm rejoined by my sweetheart, who has been down a couple of days. You're back.
I'm back. Good morning. It's great to be back in the chair. It's currently 45 degrees out. If you're just listening, it's foggy, and it's going to be probably a high tonight of 52, or reached today by 52, excuse me. It's 7:06 right now. Speaking of Elvis, because finally I was able to get away from not being bitten by the bug through the entire holiday season, and then boom, so... I felt so blessed that I could be in bed, you know. On Friday, it was Elvis's 75th birthday, speaking, Bob, of Elvis. I was thinking about you guys. I don't know what it was. I think it was on TMC, Turner Movies. They had, it was Elvis L Day. And I watched a couple documentaries that were fascinating. And Priscilla Presley was in, what's his name? Oh, gosh, the guy who runs the Turner Broadcast movie.
Something or other.
And talking about the days of Elvis. But then when they would go back and they would show this documentary, the documentary was of him performing, I think it must have been in 72. And he had the jumpsuits, you know, with the cape. And it was fascinating because it showed him backstage, and it showed him what they would do. He would do two shows a day, and it showed how he would, you know, get out. You know, Elvis has left the building. I mean, literally would run off stage and get right into his car and head out. I think he probably still holds a concert record of everywhere he performed. Huge arenas throughout the world were sold out. But even though he did two shows a day, he would stay up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning with his fellow band members singing gospel music. That's what he did to unwind. And I thought, what a life. What a life. I mean, he didn't really have a life outside of, you know, Elvis Gardens, you know, or, you know, Elvis goes good, buys a banana.
Elvis buys meth.
Oh, stop.
Okay.
You know what, I think, in his mind, when you go back and you read all the history about Elvis, this was when the whole prescription drugs, in his mind, I think he didn't think he was doing something.
I think he was one of the first ones to really get hammered by prescription drugs.
And one doctor would prescribe this, and another doctor would prescribe that, and he just got into that really bad merry-go-round of taking lots of meds.
Which goes on till today.
Oh, of course. It's so many
huge stars that are being fed these cocktails of prescribed drugs by doctors who, you know, either they're not bright enough or they just don't care, and they feed them these things and they kill them.
And or they go on a kind of a Vicodin kind of a drug because of some kind of procedure. It could even be simple as teeth. And they're working hard. And so the next thing you know, they need to not feel the pain. So they go on a drug, and the next thing you know, they want another prescription, and that's why you see a lot of them in rehab. It could be like a really serious, but for them it's like, wow, I'm finding that I need that extra cocktail, or I need that extra med. Anyway, kind of a weird thing to go from Elvis to this.
But the one thing we should remember about Elvis was that he changed the way music was done. He, you know, even my father, who was not a big Elvis fan, one day heard him sing and said what a great voice he had. And, you know, so, you know, Elvis changed the face of music, as many others have since then. And unfortunately, many of those people that have changed the face of music have ended tragically.
Well, we got to take a break. But before we take this break, I just want to say that in this documentary, the people that would come to see him in concert were women that were old grandmothers in their 70s. And children, And you looked and you saw this wide variety, men, women, different nationalities. They were all Elvis fans. He was king of pop throughout the world. And I enjoyed being able to have that brush of watching the documentary with Elvis. Anyway, we're going to be taking your calls this morning, 605-4567. Whiskey Town is low.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone number is 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Now, Friday we had our internet show there, our town hall meeting on Friday. It was raining. It was pouring cats and dogs. Mrs. MacArthur was our guest, the vice mayor, and we filled the place up. I mean, there was standing room only for people to come down and talk to Missy. This is a great way for you all to get to know your elected officials. And the people we're going to put down there are people who have got something to say, people who have had an impact on our community. But Tobacco and Brew is the one that's providing this opportunity. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. Espresso Joe serves any kind of cafe beverage that you want. You can buy wine. You can buy beer. They have Jarhead Red, which is a wine that speaks appropriately for those Marines and those former Marines.
But they have that really neat meeting room. Let's talk. And that's where we do the internet show.
And that's where it is, and it's got Wi-Fi. You can have your coffee there. You can have meetings. In fact, they're pretty much signed up for meetings now.
That's so
full
cool.
Time. And it's great.
Great location, good parking.
2143 Hilltop Drive.
It's January 11th. You know, it's not something that we really had on the agenda, but, you know, we just kind of fly by the seat of our pants here sometimes, even though we've got a big list of things that we want to talk about. Well, first of all, I want to go back to Whiskey Town, but let's talk about this email that came in.
You know, our email address is Carl or Linda, you know, either one of us, at kcnr1460.com. And we get a lot of emails, of course, with ideas for shows and other things. So this one gentleman wrote in, and I'm not going to use his whole name, I don't want to identify him, but what he says was, I do not ever write to thank you or a radio station for what they put on. And he said, our weekday lineup of Laura Ingraham, Michael Savage, and Tom Sullivan is fantastic, but the real kicker is the weekend. Thank you so much for Boomer Tech, Cigar Dave, and Rudy Max. They are surprisingly good considering what the North State is used to. Now, this Saturday I worked on cleaning up an apartment, and, you know, he goes on to say that he listened to the station all day. You know, our Saturday programming, I have to say, I think is just really excellent. I'm not just saying this because, you know, we arranged this, but our local people, starting with Kurt Largent, in that real estate show, if you haven't heard that real estate show, it starts at 8 o'clock. You need to do that because he touches on things that are close to home. Houses being upside down, short sales. What are the houses that are out there? How can you, you know, what about the value of your home?
Market, et cetera.
Everything, and he covers that, and he's a go-getter. He's got lots of enthusiasm. Then we have Alana Burke, and Alana Burke is a conservative. She's a woman. She's got strong opinions.
She's a digger.
She's good. And, you know, you listen to her, or you read what she says in the Record Searchlight, but this is a woman that's going someplace.
Nothing about her that's on the surface.
No, she goes right at it, and she'll stand head to toe with her, face to face with anybody. Then you have Dr. Trudy Pratt, Healthy Living. I mean, you can't, you know, she talks
got incredible
about different
guests.
Incredible guests there. Nancy Sutton Pierce, who's, by the way, her show this weekend was about how laughter can help heal you. And they were laughing. She and Marcia, her guests, were laughing for an entire hour there. She even had Jim Brummer, who never laughs, who I've seen him smile twice, you know, since I've known him. But he was in there laughing. And then after that,
it was funny, though. She had a lot of calls because, of course, I was...
Many, many calls.
I was in bed listening to both. Yeah. I'm sorry. Anyway, I was hit hard by that, by the ick thing. But I got a chance to really listen not just in the car, but listen to all the programming, and the laughter thing was funny. And then, of course, Boomer Tech, when Bob and Brenda called in live from Las Vegas and did their show and had some great guests. Bob, you had four different guests of people who were very involved with the show in Las Vegas.
Yes, we had a gentleman who'd been with CES for 31 years and had seen it go from the days of cassette decks and VHS tapes all the way up until the digital stuff. And then some of the innovators, and there's a couple more interviews that we got in the can, but we couldn't get them on the air. We'll be playing them this weekend. But it was interesting. Microsoft and Intel had huge booths as soon as you walked in. The press kind of bypassed those and was digging around in the corners for some of the neat little products. And this is where it can make or break. If you get one of the big box stores to pick up your product line or one of the big distributors, you got it made. So there was a lot on the line in that show.
Well, you know, then after and it's a great show, and
right,
he talks
Bob.
About. But after that, then there's Senior Solutions with Sharon, and she touches on so many things that can help not just a senior, but especially the families
or anybody who's home
right.
And has been in an accident or needs home help.
Yeah, which is what home they're
care.
Working on. You know, but the thing is we're also we've been approached for. Two or three more shows on Saturday, and we'll do that. We will make room on the schedule for it because we believe that local programming is where the heart of this station is.
And Cigar Dave.
Oh, well, you know, but he's a syndicated show. On this one, local programming, we will always make room for our local citizens if they want a show. We will move that out, and we will switch the syndicated shows around or eliminate them. Now, but with saying that, Cigar Dave is a great show. He's somebody that he talks not just about cigars. He talks about what's going on in the world. He talks about wines and everything. So anyway, but John, thank you so much for the email. It kind of gives, you know, with the feedback like that, knows we're kind of going in the right direction. We're going to take a break right now. This is Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460 AM. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
Still celebrating Elvis' birthday.
605-4567. I get that pelvis moving. It's hard for me to stop. Little dancing feet there.
Currently 42 degrees. Cloudy out there. Be careful. Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Try their new award-winning wine. Fabulous. Speaking of fabulous, we have a place here in the North State that... You know, we have relatives coming in this week. We want to drive them around. They've never been here. They're from Tennessee. And I was dying to take them out to Whiskey Town. I still want to show them Whiskey Town. But I haven't been out there in a while, and I'm seeing that the water's low. And they, one of the things that I heard that kind of bums me out, I've been up here a while, but I've never had... I've never taken the opportunity, and Carl, we've been invited several times to either sail or let's just go hang out. And I don't know, it seems like we're always on a mission or something, but we've never really taken in what it is to experience being on the Whiskey Town Lake. So we were lucky enough, a good friend of ours moved and let us have his... flatboat. Is that what it's called? A drift boat?
It's called a Zodiac raft.
Okay.
It's a little difference.
Okay. And it has a little engine on the back.
Little two-stroke, 7.5 horsepower.
And so I was really excited that I could just throw it on the back of the truck. If I wanted to take it out or take a girlfriend out or we were going to go out one day after work or something and get out and do the Whiskey Town. And what did you just tell me?
I guess just was told yesterday is that two-stroke engines are illegal on Whiskey Town Lake.
I am bummed out.
Is that true?
I believe that to be the case. That is one of the areas where two-strokes are not allowed. Also, of course, personal watercraft not allowed on Whiskey Town. Same reason.
What about Lake Shasta?
Lake Shasta, they are allowed.
So okay. What do we have to do? Can we lift the motor up and then we just have to...
No, just take the motor off and we paddle around.
Okay, can you lift the motor...
You can get a little four-stroke and those are legit.
Or we can buy another motor for
it. It's a pollution issue because two-stroke engines often discharge a little bit of oil into the ecosystem.
Oh, dear. Is that it?
No, that's the reason why. But
of course, my next question is, how much are four-stroke engines?
Not cheap.
Well, I guess we'll go back to the guy that sold it to us. Get a refund. Okay. Hey, did you feel the earthquake? Eureka did. They had a 6.5 magnitude earthquake that caused some damage. You can see, you know, windows were broken, shelves went by, area bridges suffered some bent rails. That's always good. And Eureka's Bayshore Mall had entrances blocked off over there. But the Saturday afternoon earthquake was centered in the Pacific about 22 miles west of Ferndale. And we felt it here in Reading. In fact, we're going over to some people's houses.
I didn't feel it.
They said, everybody's all excited about the earthquake. And I just thought maybe it was the way I was driving on the way over there. Anyway, no major injuries, only limited structural damage.
Do you know it was 6.5, and in 1994, there was one that was 6.7. This is what's really weird in magnitude. Killed 72 people and caused $25 billion damage in Los Angeles. That's the difference, I guess, in, I don't know, maybe just it being, maybe the heart, it was Northridge, the heart. And then where was the heart of the Eureka? Was it on the off the coast?
Said 22 miles off the coast.
Okay, all right, I didn't catch that, sorry.
The two stories are going on. They're big. One, for our local area, when I say local state, is the trial is starting to determine if the U.S. Constitution prohibits states from outlawing same-sex marriages. It gets underway today, and it's going to be heard by Chief U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker, who has asked lawyers arguing for and against the ban to present the facts underlying much of the political rhetoric surrounding a same-sex marriage. Among the questions Walker plans to entertain are whether sexual orientation can be changed, how legalizing gay marriage affects traditional marriages, and the effect of children being raised by two mothers or two fathers. And you know what? It doesn't make any difference what he says. And it doesn't make any difference which way he presides on the case, which way he judges. It's going to go up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is going to say, do states have the right to outlaw gay marriage? Even if it's a 90-10 majority against gay marriage, do the states have a right to do that under the U.S. Constitution? It's going to be interesting. Which means is that we wasted a whole lot of money on Proposition 8, because if Proposition 8 had passed, they would have gone to court anyway. If gay marriage had been allowed under Proposition 8, it still would have been sued. It still would have gone into litigation. However, they have put the hiatus on gay couples getting married.
605-4567. We're taking your calls this morning.
That could have, it's not the gay marriage issue, which I think, that it gets everybody so fired up on it. I think it's things like people are concerned that then what's going to be taught in the schools, what's going to be advocated in schools and in places of education. And I think that's what the people I've talked to are really concerned about is the far reaching effects of the allowing of gay marriage, Harvey Milk Day. It's so many different things there, but I'm not saying it's right. What their fears, but I understand those fears that are going out there. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. I guess we're going to continue Elvis into the rest of the year here. But we like Elvis music, but we'll find other stuff.
Or at least today.
Okay, at least today. Today, newspapers. Looks like newspapers are. They've done a big study on newspapers, and this kind of impacts on ours. It still says is that, of course, you get this out of the Record Searchlight. So I'm sure that they've got the whole story here. I'm sure they do. That local news still flows from newspapers, even as an Internet-driven upheaval takes its toll on the coverage, according to a study. Well, what things the study said, though, is that, your newspaper reporting isn't as deep as it used to. And especially in the local stories. As it used to be. It used to have a lot. These more reporters, and they'd be assigned to different beats, local beats, like on the weekends. And unless it's something spectacular, I don't think that there's too many reporters covering weekend events. And you see weekend events that are pretty important with hundreds and hundreds of people at it, and yet the the paper doesn't have somebody assigned to that. And it also is saying is that the Internet, with its less expensive advertising alternatives and the recent recession, have just torn the newspaper and print media up, which I think everybody knew, that print ad sales, the main source, you know, that's how they get their money. You know, they go after everything you see in the paper, you know, any type of ad there has plunged more than 40%, more than $20 billion in annual revenue since 2005. And they've laid off they reduced the size of U.S. newspaper staffs by 25% since 2001. You know, when you see that, you can take a look at our local paper, and you see that. You know, the print portion of the Record Searchlight, you know, the paper's gotten, they're using a new type of paper that's a narrower.
Do you think they're going to do away with Monday probably printings?
Well, they're down to you know, it's a really the question is you know, they suppose, you know, when Silas Lyons was on, Scripps said that they were going to maintain this paper. Now, what's it going to look like, though? You may be a smaller and smaller paper. Maybe every day of the week will be a lot like Monday. And, you know, they're going to be continuing to outsource many of the things they do. You know, I know they are outsourcing some of the, you know, the layouts and those kind of things. We've heard rumors about other stuff that we're going to check on today about the paper. But the point is that not everybody has a computer. Not everybody, you know, a lot of people live out in places where it's difficult to have computers. They have radios and they read the newspapers. And a city needs a newspaper. You may not agree with it. You may not, you know, like their stances on things, but it's still a good newspaper tells you what's going on in the community at all levels of the community. You know, I think that I think there could be better coverage on veterans, concerning issues concerning veterans. But I know they're trying. I've met the reporter doing. I know he's out at a number of them. I think there could be other deeper digs into things. However, but the Record Searchlight, when it does jump onto a subject, it does get into it. Sometimes they pick sides in elections, which they make a reporting piece into an opinion piece, or into a real hit piece like they did on Russell Hunt. You know, I don't agree with that. But then again, they need to exist. You can't just get all of your information from, you know, radio talk shows, except perhaps this one, because we're pretty fair, or the TV stations. I think you need to be well-rounded. You need to read everything. And that means going online if you can, but if not, then there's magazines out there, and there's the different newspapers you can have access to. It's not easy, but you need to have all of that there to be able to make decisions. But especially a local newspaper that's going to cover the local news. That's, of course, just my opinion. No, don't worry, Bob. I haven't finished yet.
Well, I do like going online to Reading.com. I feel like I get a pretty good grasp of what's going on locally through the computer. But for those people who do like to read a newspaper, I know that when I lived overseas, I used to like the International Tribune. And a lot of people will like to read the front column and the back column of Wall Street. USA Today is a fun paper just because, again, the pictures. And it's a fun paper to read, informative in a certain sense. I know my brother loves the Christian Monitor. A lot of people, what are you looking at?
Well, no,
like
I'm just thinking about the USA Today. My mother lived with my sister, my brother-in-law. We were coming here.
He's laughing because pictures.
No, it's just that my brother. My brother-in-law is a doctor. He likes to start his morning off quiet. So he and my mom would sit there at the table having breakfast, 6 o'clock in the morning. And my mom would get the USA Today, which was her favorite paper. And here's Steve that was used to being quiet and reading. mom would start reading to him. You know, in the USA Today, they've got, you know, all the different states and something that happened. So she'd go, oh, look, in Louisiana, and she'd read this to him. And this lasted for like 6 months. He's a gentle, patient kind of guy. And then he started going out and working out at 6 in the morning.
I wonder if they'll come on when they come and visit, because, you know, he's an ophthalmologist, and I wonder if he'll talk about what's happened with his medical practice in the state of Tennessee. How much has it changed for him?
Drastically, and it's just like out here. Meditin or whatever they had, their Tennessee, like, you know, Medicaid type thing, they've just gotten hammered. Okay, in this last part of the segment, it's that time of the year. Yes, it is. You thought Christmas was over. You're wrong.
What?
Wall Street. It's going into bonus season in Wall Street. The annual rite of tallying bonuses is about to begin. And because they did so well last year as opposed to 2008, of course, they did so well because of the massive billions of dollars that we, the people, we patriots, had taken from our taxes. So they did better this past year, even though that unemployment is still, you know, through the roof. You know, when you say, oh, we only lost 85,000 jobs, you know, in November, you know, everybody's screaming in approval for that. And, of course, it goes right back up. So we're still over 10% unemployment. You still can't get loans. The credit card companies are finding every different way in the book to bend you over and change your interest rates to, you know, to do that. And what are they doing? After the federal bailouts, many banks are turning handsome profits. Top producers are looking forward to blowout paydays one more time. In financial circles, the New York Times says, the question on everybody's mind is this: just how big will this payday be? The answer appears to be extremely big, perhaps the biggest industry-wide since 2007, at the height of the bubble. You're talking about people getting six figures, high six figures. One guy, $900,000 bonus. $900,000 bonus. Now, these banks have paid back. You know, they've gotten money from, you know, they were able to make investments on our money. They've paid it back, so now the government can't touch them. So what are they doing? They're going right back to what they did. Hey, President Obama, didn't you say you were going to do something about that? Wasn't this something else you promised us? You broke that promise, too. You have no control over what Wall Street's doing. We thought it was bad under Bush, and it was a disaster. Well, guess what? Everything that you're saying is happening again. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We're taking your call, 605-4567. You know, it's so funny because we've been covering a myriad of subjects this morning, but I just came across a funny question, and I've got to say it on the air and say it out loud because it just struck me as being funny. I mean, does it strike you as being funny? Here's the question. Is it legal to capture and keep wild boars, feral pigs, in California? Is it legal to keep them in a pit to train dogs for hunting boars? Don't you just think that there's something about that that is just pretty gross?
They used to have, like, bear and dog fights, and I'm sure, you know, boar and dog fights at one time, filming pits. I'm pretty sure that's going to be illegal.
Yeah, I would think it's kind of, you know, passe. But the answer is no, it's unlawful to capture and keep live wildlife in California, with rare exceptions for rehabilitation and educational purposes.
Well, that's education. You want to train your dogs.
It is unlawful to capture any game, mammal, game bird, non-game bird, non-game mammal, or fur bearer, or to possess or confine any live game, mammal, game bird, non-game mammal, or fur bearer taken from the wild. This is from the FTC section 3005.5. The law also directs DFG to seize any bird or mammal possessed or confined in violation of this section.
And then they take them out and shoot them.
had to, you know.
Okay, let's not
tell you that. I thought that kind of stressed me out.
Speaking of wild pig hunting, let's go to. Seems like a good segue into terrorism. You know, one of the things we talked about, and this is our last segment before we go into the next hour. Our guest, by the way, in the next hour is Donnie Greenberg from News Cafe. She's going to come in and talk to us, you know, starting a business, how it's gone and all this. This is going to be, interesting hour. And then, of course, Tuesday, Kent Daggs. Wednesday, Greg Williams, who heads up he's the chairman of the Democratic Steering Committee for Shasta County. Thursday, Jerry Benito, our Shasta County District Attorney, who will now answer your questions, running again for office. You know, one of the things that we said we were going to talk about is all of these new rules to get aboard an airplane, body scans, taking off all your shoes, people being identified or not identified just by name, you know, arbitrarily picking people out. The problems with profiling. Do you profile everybody? Do you profile, you know, I mean, I say profiling everybody, of course, that's not true. Profiling is selecting people to be looked at, to be searched, to have special dispensation because of race, religion, ethnicity, maybe it's the clothing they wear, who knows. Would profiling work? There's many people out there that say, well, let's take a look at our attackers here of the, you know, in the United States. You know, the attack on the coal, young Muslim men. You talk about 9/11, young Muslim men. The shoe bomber wasn't a young Muslim man. The attempt, of course, on the Christmas flight, a young Muslim man. You know, you can go on and on and on, and you see these things float around the Internet. So if that's the case, shouldn't we be looking with a special eye to
that's racial young profiling,
Muslim
Carl.
Men? That's right, but I'm saying this is what the argument is. If that is who is attacking our country, well, shouldn't they be looked at? If it was blonde women from Sweden doing this, shouldn't they be looked at? Does it have anything to do with their religion and racial characteristics or whatever, or is it what they're doing? That's what the question is. And you're seeing people. I mean, you're seeing a lot of people saying, "Yeah, profiling." Well, you know, millions of Muslims live in countries where there is no Al Qaeda. They don't have they don't attack the United States. So should those people also be profiled? Well, of course, the answer has to be yes, because once you start, where do you stop? Now, he's talking about we talked a little bit about this also on Friday. When you talk about the body scanner looks under your clothes and, you know, can see if you're carrying anything. Of course, there's ways of getting by that, as they did in an assassination attempt against a Saudi prince where the bomber inserted the explosives into his body with the detonator. And that one went off. So there's ways of getting around it. The other thing too is that you can't get up in the last hour of a international flight before you arrive there. That's stupid because you just set it off early. Now, what have the Israelis done that have changed how they do things? Every time they see what we've done, I think they get a little smile on their face. And in fact, the gentleman, a guy named Sia, says it's mind-boggling for we Israelis to look at what happens in North America because we went through this 50 years ago. Israelis have perfected, I shouldn't say perfected, but they have a system that is so much different than ours.
What do you think the Israelis would have done with the Nigerian bomb allegedly suspect?
No, he's not alleged. Let's get over that word alleged.
Okay,
if you're in the media, you got, we've got to say alleged. No,
okay.
The guy tried to set his underwear off
with
a detonator. He burned himself. A Flying Dutchman went across and started whipping up on him. The rest of the passengers smacked him around a few times too.
We got to take a break.
What?
I'm sorry. We just go ahead. Finish your sentence there. Sorry.
Well, what we were doing was that he was talking. He got a lawyer and he shut up. We're treating him like a petty criminal that went into Walgreens and shoplifted something off the shelf. That's the way we're treating them, and this is absolutely wrong.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and take, we've got a caller on the line, 6054567. This is Carlin and the Bot. We will be right back after these messages.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. I have to correct myself. It's Greg Winters, not Williams. Greg Winters. Okay, the Israelis, we'll go through this quick, have a 6 steps on how they keep people safe going into their airports. And it starts when they come into the airport. The first layer of security that greets the travelers at Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion International Airport is a check. It's just a motorist check. All drivers are stopped, and they are asked 2 questions. How are you, and where are you coming from? That's it. How are you, and where are you coming from? The questions aren't important. Again, the questions aren't important. It's the way the people act when they answer them. They're looking for nervousness and signs of distress.
Is this like at the passport check?
Yeah, when this was, we go on, because what they're doing, they're profiling. But they're behavioral profiling, not racial, not ethnicity. It's behavior. That's what they're doing.
Well, haven't you seen this in so many films where when somebody's coming through and you watch the guy at the passport check, he'll say, are you here for business or pleasure? And he'll take a look at the person and then check them out and then stamp their passport. You see it in so many films.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that, what they do. But the word profiling, and this is what he says, is a political invention by people who don't want to do security. It doesn't matter and who they are, if they're young or what. It's their interviewer who is trained. They're trained to be looking at them. They're trained to be looking at their face. Okay, once you've parked your car, you've gotten off the bus, you pass through a second and third security. Armed guards outside the terminal are trained to observe passengers as they move towards the door. Again, ignoring any passengers that seem to be okay. At some point, some travelers will be they'll take some of them aside, and their person and their luggage is run through a machine. This is to see you don't have any heavy metals on you. Once you're in the terminal, as you approach your airline check-in desk, a trained interviewer takes your passport and ticket. They ask a series of questions. Who packed your luggage? Who has it left your side? You know, the whole time they're looking into your eyes, which is very embarrassing. But this is one of the ways they figure out if you're suspicious. It takes 25 seconds. Lines are staggered. They're not allowed to get in these big lines in case somebody does have a bomb and wants to set it off. Your luggage is scanned immediately in an area that's blocked off, so if they see a bomb, they can evacuate that little area and not the whole airport. So the screening area is surrounded by these blast-proof areas. 5 security levels. You now finally arrive at the only one that Ben-Gurion shares with Pearson, the body and mind and the hand luggage checked. It's done completely. It's fast. Everybody's in line. Again, it's run through there quickly. They're looking at from the time you arrive at the airport to the time you're standing in your terminal, it's 24 minutes. And the whole thing is not based on what you look like. It's how you behave. Let's go to the phones. Noni, good morning.
Good morning. How are you folks doing?
We're great. How are you this morning?
I kind of ran through that fast, but it kind of shows a difference between how the Israelis handle something and we do.
In 3 hours.
We need to learn from them. Glad you're feeling better, Linda.
Thank you so much. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I'll make it real brief. I know it's getting close, but I just wanted to, and I was down at the Tobacco and Brew on Friday, but you weren't there, and it wasn't appropriate. I wanted to just make a quick message about the Christmas for the Troops program.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a great thing. But at any rate, when you folks needed some extra names, and I gave you that Chaplain Dustin Rodriguez name.
Right.
Who had just been deployed to Afghanistan. Well, he received over 100 boxes.
That's great.
And there were some from other states, and they have no idea how he got them. But at any rate, he sends his heartfelt gratitude. And he said the troops were just overwhelmed that the people back home cared that much to do that for them. And he wanted us to be sure to get it that word out to you and to all the vets and everybody here. And also, his parents are very grateful, too. That's Dr. Sam Rodriguez and Dawn here in Reading. And at any rate, it was just such a tremendous program, and I hope we'll be doing it again, you know, next year.
Well, you know, we will do it as long as we have deployed troops, and we've got to run, Noni. But thank you so much for your phone call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you. How uplifting.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. This is KCNR, Shasta Redding. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, 605-4567. Stop sending me emails to say I don't say that enough. I'll say it every other sentence now. Our guest
this morning, what an honor.
Thanks.
In the studio with us is Donnie Greenberg. And I know when I first came to Reading, I would hear your name all the time, and people loved reading your column. And I got to meet you at various fundraisers. And so if there's somebody who doesn't know who you are, let's go back in history a little bit about when you came to Reading and how you became a writer, and then we'll go into the News Cafe. But let's do a little history on Donnie Greenberg.
You want me to go way back? Okay, well, I'm a local kid, I guess you could say. My family arrived here in 1961 when I was in kindergarten. And so I went all through the Reading School District, Pine Street School before it was deemed unseismically safe. And, Sequoia School and Shasta High School and Shasta College. And I went to Chico State and got my degree in journalism and minored in psychology. And I'm a local person who has a real interest in local people and local stuff. And I started working at the paper in 1997. And I was their first full-time opinion columnist, and a woman, I might add. And and then later on, I started their first food section, because I can be more than just about opinions. I can be about other stuff, too. And then I left there. I don't know if you guys can relate to this. So I was going along just great in my job, and then one day somebody decided that I shouldn't be there anymore. And so that was in 2007.
Imagine that.
I know, it's so weird. And so I was shown the door, and 140 people picketed the newspaper.
Wow.
And so I was fired on a Wednesday, and on a Sunday, my son in the Czech Republic started this blog called Food for Thought. I think he was just afraid I wasn't going to get back on the horse. Come on, Mom. But the thing that's sort of funny is I was never really a techie person, and I never really wanted to do online stuff. But that's where I am, and I couldn't be happier.
So where was your son at that point?
He was in the Czech Republic. He's married to a young woman who lives in the Czech Republic, and that's where they live.
So he had the fortitude of my mother. She needs to, this is who she is. She needs to put her thoughts down, and she could fly away if we don't get her to put her thoughts down.
I think you know how kids are. It's like, come on, Mom. You know, I'm a tough cookie usually, but I was pretty upset.
Yeah.
So it was my career.
Yeah.
So I think he wanted me to have something to do. And the thing that was amazing is readers found me almost immediately. And so it's built and built up now until we have 40,000 readers.
Well, did News Cafe begin on that the week after? Or
mm-hmm.
Technically, boom,
yeah.
So you
we changed the name later. It was Food for Thought, and then we did Food for Thought on News Cafe, and now we have it trademarked to just be a newscafe.com. And it's an online news magazine.
Well, you have some pretty heavy hitters
writing
for News Cafe.
Yeah, we have a lot of journalists who were from the other place that I left. So Kelly Brewer, who is the editor, and Jim Dyer, who is the entertainment editor. Lauren Brooks, who is the cops reporter. Paul Shigley, who was he did all kinds of city reporting and stuff. So Phil Fountain, who is the newspaper's cartoonist. So it's kind of like, I think, some of the best of the brightest people who were no longer there came onto our site.
Well, it's pretty obvious that when you find your passion, no matter what happens, whatever vehicle you're on, if you are no longer in that vehicle, you'll find another vehicle because you have to do what you do, period.
Right. But I think it's also that thing where, because I'm a local person and this was a big corporate place I left, this community is very locally they're locally interested. And so, and I think they have a really strong sense of right and wrong and what's fair, and it really ticked them off. And they wanted to hear from local people. So it was kind of a natural thing.
Well, congratulations on the birth of
it was a breech birth.
So how long has it been now that you've actually had your A News Cafe?
2 years. It was November 2007. So here we are.
Well, we can say that we left corporate on September, something like that.
December 14th.
Huh?
It was
September 14th.
I'm sorry, you're
something
right.
Something like that.
14th.
It was right after 9/11.
Right. September 14th.
It was September 14th, and we were the same. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? We have something to say. We love it here. We want to be here. We love being in the breath, in the heart, and the soul of Reading. So, you know, thank God. Mike Quinn's been sitting on this radio station forever, and it just was timing. So we were able to move forward and make it happen. And so we really kind of feel like this.
You can relate.
Yeah, we relate to what it is to just do what you love and to try to be a voice for the people.
Right.
So we're going to take a break here. We're with Donnie Greenberg. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Donnie Greenberg, News Cafe. Phone number here is 605-4567, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley provide more than just an outstanding tobacco shop, more than just an outstanding place to get a cup of coffee. They provide a meeting place that organizations can come into, talk freely. They allow us to have the town hall meetings there where everybody can come and express themselves in a civil manner and discuss what's important to our city and state. And they support so many of the good causes. Joe and Shelley at Tobacco and Brew, you know, we say this, there's so much more than just a tobacco company. Okay, Donnie.
Hi.
You started a news cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And that can't be easy because, I mean, you're getting like 40,000 people reading this thing on a regular basis.
Right.
And then, you know, if you look at your website, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
And you've got some great writers. I mean, it just didn't happen by itself. Nothing happens by itself.
That's true.
So when you launched this thing, what was your plans for it?
Well, my plan originally was just to do a little blog about cooking and about life and about, you know, the kind of stuff I would do in columns sometimes. And then readers started sending me tips, news tips, like when I worked at the paper. And they'd say, would you cover this? Would you write about that? And so I started doing news stories. And it just snowballed. And as a journalist, it's kind of like, Linda, what you were talking about. When you do what you love and you do what you're trained to do, I knew I had to do it. And so about a year after we started a news cafe, I asked Kelly Brewer, my former editor at the Record Searchlight, if she would join me because she'd also departed the paper. And so more than a year ago, Kelly joined us, and then her husband, Steve Brewer, who was a syndicated columnist, joined us as well. So it's who said the harder you work, the luckier you get, kind of like that. But it just sort of snowballed, and then initially we asked people to write for us. We have 50 community writers now.
Wow.
About every topic under the sun. We even recently got a sex columnist. But, you know, about gardening, about health, and about exercise, and about food, and about every part of being alive and in this community. And what's cool about it is I just love when things happen. Like, well, I didn't love the earthquake, but I love what happens when news like that breaks. And our website allowed a forum for people to say, hey, I have somebody in Humboldt County. I can't find them. Can you help me? And people were giving their experiences. It was just filled with comments, and it's helpful. Yeah, so it's just really a cool place to be.
Now, when you did, which is what you do all the time.
That's dude, right?
Dinner and a movie at the
Cascade. Oh, right, that was
what
fun.
What a fabulous event.
Oh, you were there too.
Yeah, and you get to pick out different chefs. But also, tell us about your... your cooking background?
Oh, man. It's like, it's one of those things I used to love when I worked at the paper, and I'd get these comments from oftentimes men, sometimes women, they'd say, hey, why don't you keep your political opinions to yourself and get back in the kitchen? You know? But the thing is you can be a well-rounded person. Like, you can ride a motorcycle and have a radio station, right? Mm-hmm. You can do, we're not just one-dimensional. So I love to cook, and I've been taking cooking classes and teaching cooking classes for years. So it was just one of those things I like to do. And we often donate dinners to the community for Women's Refuge or wherever.
Okay, I know this isn't political. We have in-laws coming in.
Oh, boy.
On Wednesday.
Oh, fun.
What should I cook?
Oh, man.
First time to ever be in Northern California. They're from the South.
Well, I would do something the night before for breakfast, like one of those breakfast strata things. Put it in the fridge, and then you can pull it out the next morning and bake it. I would do barbecue at night, so marinate something.
Okay.
Marinate something.
Okay.
Antelope.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Are you guys game?
No. Cookers? Well, he has antelope. He's got some great antelope, but that's not what we're going to serve on Wednesday night. I don't know if we should do crab or
that'd be fun. Local is good.
And yeah.
What is it? All months that end or they have an R in them or something.
Well, this is a big month for crab feeds anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
I mean, there's that and next, I think, then the women's shelter goes, I think, February 4th or something.
And
like
Anderson
that.
Just had a crab feed.
Anderson,
in fact, we have the slideshow
right.
from that coming up on our website. We have a photographer, Paul Heath, who goes out in the community and takes pictures, and then we put up slideshows.
This coming weekend is they've got the Sons of Italy. Got a huge crab feed.
There's always
going
something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to be here. Otherwise, I'd be all over that one.
So who mans your website? I mean, when I think about the daily updates of what goes on with all this information, and you have to get it up on your website, who does that?
Well, it's a juggling act. We have a friend in Elk Grove who's a web guy who does all the programming kind of stuff. And then my son in the Czech Republic helps with all the formatting. Yeah, it's just, I mean, you're online, it's just, he's 9 hours ahead and it's perfect. So I can say, hey, Joe, I'm going to bed now. Would you make sure this is fixed?
Wow.
Kelly and I recently kind of switched our duties around where I'm doing just writing and she does, you know, she's a former editor. And so she does all the editing, copy editing stuff and placing and scheduling. You can schedule stuff out a week in advance, exactly what time you want it to appear. And when something happens that's immediate, you can go in there and do it in real time, unlike a paper, for example.
We'd like our website to have no misspelled words in it. We think that's a huge success.
You know, we're all human. Yeah. Everybody needs a copy editor, even writers, you know.
All right. We've got to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We want to talk about, you know, the future for News Cafe and, you know, expansion or whatever. Carla Linda Bott, our guest, is Donnie Greenberg from a News Cafe. This is KCNR.
Quit shaking. Look at you.
He's moving.
Yeah, he's moving.
He's playing the air guitar.
Is that? And Bob's going into his bag of tricks with his little techno, but that is total 80s techno, isn't it? Yeah.
That's where Bob is stuck there.
Still in the Rock the Casbah stuff. Anyway, Carla and Linda Bott here. Our guest today is Donnie Greenberg. We're talking about a news cafe. And, okay, so what is the future? Where do you want to go with this? How can you get better?
To the moon. Well, you know, because it's online, I have to keep reminding myself, because I'm a newspaper journalist by training, I have to remind myself that online can do audio and video and all kinds of cool stuff. So something we're looking at is to have some way where we deputize a few hundred people or whatever, and they can just upload stuff from their cell phones onto our website, like, hey, I'm in Eureka and the buildings are shaking, or I'm in Mount Shasta and there's an avalanche, or look at this rainbow, or wherever they are. And so that's one thing I'd like to do. And then also, we just recently, at New Year's, we made a change. Before, Kelly and I were on the masthead, and you know, I think that was a good place to start, so people go, oh, those are two familiar faces. But we removed our faces, and now we have just the pretty website name, because somebody early on, a reader, did a typo and called it a Wii site instead of a website. And I kind of glommed onto that. We are a Wii site. It's a community site. So I think as we go forward, we'll focus more on all the people who are writing on our site instead of just a handful. You'll see on the left sidebar, there are a number of faces on we call buttons. And there's Steve and Phil and myself and Kelly and Jim Dyer. But this way, we can kind of share, you know, share the attention and share the format. for more people.
Well, you know, what we talked earlier today about newspapers.
Mm-hmm. I heard you talking about that.
And the newspapers are in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say it any way you want, but they're having problems. And they're having problems, and the big thing is their funding from their ads.
Right.
And you know, how much money they charge, and just the fact that, you know, the news size of the paper has gotten smaller, which is not a big thing. Because, you know, as I told, you know, Silas when he was talking about it one day, I said, it's not the size of the paper, it's what's in the paper.
Right.
And if it's a great paper, you know, if it's 11 inches wide, you know, that's fine, and, you know, 12 inches long. Nobody cares, as long as it's a good paper. You can read some of these local ones that are just outstanding. But one of the things you're talking about doing and is kind of like the dawn of the age of the citizen journalist.
Mm-hmm. It's good. I wish I'd said that term. That's exactly the right term, citizen journalist.
Well, Bad Bob said it first, and I just took it from him. But because I said it first, it's mine, Bob.
Okay, that's really at the heart of...
That's what it is.
You can't be everywhere.
No, you cannot. And so we still have the core being journalists who are trained to write in AP style and to be fair and balanced, and unless it's an opinion piece, and then you can say what you want. But, yeah, we rely on people in the community to tell us things and report things where we aren't there, you know. So, yeah, citizen journalism is very important, and we rely on that a lot.
Well, we've heard of some things lately that were just astounding to us, but we have been unable to verify them, so we can't, you know, talk about them yet. But we should be able to verify them today.
Regarding?
Oh, things that are going on in some of the other media
markets.
Hmm. But I don't know how true they are, and I don't know how astounding they are. But we need to check those out.
Well, you do. You know what they say in journalism 1A is if your mother says she loves you, check it out.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's what we try to do.
Sounds cynical, but sometimes for things like that where you could make or break someone's reputation or, you know, influence their business, you need to make sure you verify.
Yeah, we
exactly.
don't. Exactly. But the idea, though, of having people call in, that's what they do here. We've gotten so many things, you know, people say, hey, look at this, look at that, what about this, you know, those kind of things.
Have you noticed sometimes they're true and sometimes they're not?
Of course.
And that's why it's so important to verify.
The emails you get a lot of times are people passing things on to us that they've gotten.
Right.
And
it's called a rumor sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. Or mm-hmm. something that's been passed around for a year.
Right.
And you see it come back through. So you can't talk about it. And a lot of times I'll just send it back to them to say, you know, check out news facts or factcheck.org and all these. Because you'll see they're not all exactly
sometimes
true.
There's a grain of truth. And that's where digging and verifying comes in.
And that's what a journalist does. I think it was Ronald Reagan who said trust and verify. Bob put that over. Trust but verify. We are so honored to have Donnie Greenberg with
Thank
us
you.
Today. If you just tuned in, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Donnie Greenberg is our guest. The phone line here, the hotline. So if you have a question for Donnie, 605-4567. It's currently 47 degrees outside. It's about 828. And Donnie, I keep going back to how renowned you are with your cooking and your great ideas with cooking. Whose idea was it to do dinner in a movie at the Cascade? And are you going to do it again this year?
Well, it's up to the Cascade. That was Valerie Ng Miller's idea. And it grew from the first time we just had, we'd have one chef. And the second series we did, we had 8 different restaurants, which was a great way to feature different businesses. And then different people doing mixology, you know, drinks.
Yeah.
That's what you guys were doing. I just think it's a great way. It was inexpensive, like $10 for the night, and you get to see a cooking demo and a drink demo and see a movie and be in the beautiful Cascade, which I never can get enough of.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about the A News Cafe and the heart of it and where you came from and the cooking. Do you mind? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but well, let's talk about where we are in the state of affairs that we are in our country right now. How are you feeling about where we are? Are you optimistic? Are you in a place that, how about some thoughts on that?
Well, I'm a born optimist that has a little bit of cynicism, but I think that as long as you have good people in a community, in every community, and you have a bunch of communities that make up this country, that I think if we work together and don't get too caught up in the polarized sides of either side, I think most people are more moderate than the other sides would like us to think. And I think, you know, I think what's great is that if we can share ideas, in a civilized way, like Kelly and I say it on our website, that people can comment, but it's our house and no vomiting on the furniture or we will ask you to leave. So I think if we can be civilized and talk about it, I think the people can really help with this country. And I'm optimistic. I think we're going to be okay.
I think
we
are too.
Great.
You know, on our town hall meetings, you know, and for people on our show, you know, we've got one rule that the people that are on our show or to town hall are our guests, and they will be treated like guests in our house. You can disagree, but and they may never understand your point of view. That's fine. As long as we're not name-calling and trying to destroy another person, that is so completely wrong. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR. Welcome
Love
back
it.
To Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Hey, it's Carl and Linda Bott.
Good morning.
Our phone number is 605-4567, and our guest is Donnie Greenberg.
Good morning.
You know, we started on something, and it was civility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our guest tomorrow would be Kent Daggs.
And, I know Kent Daggs.
And Kent has refused to talk, from the last thing I heard, has refused to talk to the Record Searchlight because of the anonymous comments that were aimed at him by the commenters that are down there.
I saw comments directed at his daughter.
It wasn't just to him. It's one thing to go after him, but then you go after the daughters, they go after the moms, they go after their dog, the car they drive, the whole thing.
And it's anonymous.
Yeah. So what do you think about that?
Well, I have very strong feelings about that. I remember when I worked at the paper, actually when I still worked with the editor who's there now, he and I had a long discussion about this because I was really tweaked. I mean, I believe in First Amendment rights. I believe in the right to say, to speak out and say what you think. Letters to the editor have people's names, but the online comments did not. And I said, how can you allow this stuff to go on the website, these anonymous stuff that could wreck people's lives, horrible things about people's reputations? It just was horrible. And he pointed out that the reason a paper will often not get sued for that is because if you don't have knowledge of it, if you don't moderate it, and it just comes up, all this stuff comes up, and unless somebody says, hey, that's offensive, take it off, then the paper or whatever online place can claim that they haven't seen it because somebody just brought it to their attention. So if you moderate it, you have knowledge of it, and then you can be liable for whatever the fallout is. But I think, like on our site, and it's interesting how it sort of progressed, at first people kind of crept out and they leave a comment, and most people wouldn't leave their real names. And now I would say, holy cow, I'll bet 85-90% of the people who leave comments on our site leave their names. And I think there's responsibility attached to having your name. And I think that if you have your name and you're standing by what you say and what you believe, I mean, unless you're like a whistleblower and you're afraid you're going to be murdered for saying something you know, then I think you should stand behind what you say. Generally, I know there are times when you need to, when you can't use your name because it will hurt yourself or others, or your company or something.
Well, yeah, then that's what I see is some of the. Those are some of the excuses they use. Is, well, if I spoke out like this and my business and my customers knew what I was thinking, my business would be ruined.
Hmm.
And yet they are more than happy enough to say, oh, let's boycott a business because they support, you know, Kent Daggs, or they support Patrick Jones or whatever.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying is that they're more than happy to scream for a boycott of businesses. I can't help but think that, you know, most people would never say what they say online to people's faces.
Exactly.
And there's for a variety of reasons. One is that they don't have the moral courage or the physical courage to do that. But two, it's the fact is that here's a chance to vent, especially I feel like the people writing, especially the worst comments, are really repressed. I think that they're in a very unhappy place in their life.
Well,
I picture some of them as being in their 40s, still living at home, and down in the basement. They're wearing a bathrobe, and they're drinking Red Bull.
Well, did you see Phil Fountain, go to our website at newscafe.com, and Phil Fountain did a hilarious cartoon, it's been about a month ago, I think, about sort of like his image of some of those commenters. We used to say it's like the same 12 people sitting in a single wide under a bare light bulb, sitting in their underwear in the dark, you know. But, I mean, who knows? I think they're very unhappy people. And I want to point out, though, on our website, we do allow comments, and we don't moderate. And if somebody, we have enough people who are working the site to see it, and we have taken down, I'll bet in 2 years, not 10 comments.
Well, you know, that's, you know, and I understand that. And I'm just kind of laughing about the, you know, the photo, you know, the picture of who they are and the fact, you know, but, you know, here's the thing is, in many cases I've seen, they have come up, and some of their comments are just beautiful. I mean, they're right on. We've used them here. Mm-hmm. You know, I've gone back, we've checked them, but some people are so knowledgeable out there that you can learn a lot by reading what the commenters say. It's the ones that call each other names and especially when it comes to the tea party. Oh my God. It's like you have stuck a sharp stick in somebody's eye and then you wanted to light it.
Right.
Because somebody belongs to the Tea Party movement or belongs to one of the Tea Party groups here.
It's polarizing. That's not very effective, is it? It doesn't move anybody forward to do that kind of stuff.
And they're still gonna join and they're still going to believe what they want. Now, what we have is, you know, on our town hall meetings, we have Tea Party people there, but we have people on the exact opposite side there.
We like to mix it up.
Yeah, we've never had people screaming and yelling at each other. We've never had signs coming up or anything.
It's important to mix it up because, you know, our great country of ours is made up of so many different opinionated people of vast backgrounds. We know somebody personally who is a columnist who has had death threats, not only on herself but her family.
I've had death threats when I worked at the paper.
Yeah, you know, see,
that just blows my mind.
Yeah. I don't understand that concept.
No, I don't understand that either. So. I guess it's the ultimate shut up, huh?
Well, it is, but it's
the ultimate. Yeah.
Again, it's
weird.
People.
But
that,
you know, that's
that
the minority. Those kind of people really are the minority, but they're loud, so it's like the loud, obnoxious minority, which kind of intimidates the majority of people who are, you know.
Well, it looked like it fueled you.
Hmm?
It fueled you.
Oh, I just don't. I sort of say I don't care, but I know that most of those things are empty threats, and you know, I don't give it too much thought.
Well, I just think I mean, you can't expect. Like I said, I always use the word vanilla. You can't expect everyone to be in a kind of a numb state because people, words are powerful and opinions are powerful and stances are powerful. And so some people think, well, God, my neighbor is, you know, the person living right over there is a so-and-so and a so-and-so. But you know what? Our street is made up, the street you live on is made up of such vast differences. And you're not going to go to the guy across the street because he happens to belong to a certain religion or belong to a certain club and say, you know, I'm going to kill your dog. I mean, it's just, it's ignorant on some level. And I don't know. It's frustrating to me.
It's fear.
Fear of the unknown. Yeah. Yeah. What a boring place it would be if we were all alike.
We're going to take a quick break here. Our guest is Donnie Greenberg. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. The bell ringing is to keep the gremlins away.
Uh-huh.
And I see Bob's face starts turning red. I recognize that that's a sign of blood pressure, which usually means there's something going on the board. But, you know, and so I start ringing that bell. You know, we bring it in.
You know, Bob and I went to high school together.
Is that right?
Love that.
Yep.
Bad Bob said that. Mm. He said, yep. I know, Donnie. We were, you know, like she was a valedictorian, and I was almost there.
No.
Okay. All right. Do not go there. Okay. You know, we had our town hall meeting with Missy on Friday, and I was surprised with all the things going on with taxes and this kind of like, and the dire straits our town is in because we have no money. And we had a full house. I mean, we had a full house, and the first question was, they were talking about excise taxes for marijuana for the consortiums here, the cooperatives. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman asked, and he was serious, he says, why doesn't the city just take over the marijuana business here and make money off it? Well, then that started. And for 30 minutes of that hour, we talked about questions dealing with the marijuana the marijuana stores, the proliferation of the stores, and everything that's going on, how it's impacting on people, how it's impacting on businesses. So
we hear about that a lot.
Yeah.
We've reported on that a lot, actually. I think, well, you guys may not agree with me, but I just want to say this, that I don't smoke pot, but I have friends who do. And I just think that overall the whole thing should be legalized, just like alcohol. And you can't drive under the influence of pot, you know. And I think, like Bob and I were talking, that if you are driving under the influence of marijuana, then it's a swift and severe punishment. But I think what people do in their living room, smoking a joint or something, I don't see why it's anybody else's business. So legalize it and tax it. And then right now it's like the Wild West in Shasta County or in Redding. I know there's a woman who has a design place over off of Bocelli Lane, and she said there were like 4 or 5 of these medical marijuana places. And she's upset, and she claims she can actually smell smoke, and she's worried it's going to affect how her furniture smells. And
well, no, that's, I agree with that, because we know of people that there was one of the cooperatives right there next to them, and the odor of the marijuana permeated their store. And another, until they moved, and then the other person who had the store next to them, they can smell it.
Well, I walked into their establishment the other day, and they said, "Can you smell it?"
Hmm.
I was like,
"Could you?"
I smelled orange, like candles.
They were burning
like they
candles.
Incense. Yeah, it wasn't. The smell of pot coming through the window. But it was better than that. The loophole I see as far as legalizing it, and I'm with you too. Let's just come on. I know that the sheriff thinks it's a gateway drug. Many people think it's a gateway drug.
Well, so is alcohol. I mean,
it, you know,
for some
but
people.
If somebody has a not a prescription, it's called a what?
Recommendation.
A recommendation. I just think that's also an interesting term. If you have a recommendation that you can legally smoke it for health reasons, then you would then be driving and be under the influence. So
no, I don't think so. I think it's just like prescription, like pain meds. You can actually be pulled over for driving under the influence of Vicodin and be arrested, just like alcohol. So I think
anytime you take a mind-altering, and when I say mind-altering, marijuana alters your perceptions, it slows down,
sure.
Makes people feel relaxed, or whatever they say.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that you're on any type of mind altering, and I'll just use altering, substance, whether it's legalized, if it's medications, if it's booze, if it's, whatever, an overdose on Twinkies, I don't care. It's, then you should be punished for it. You should be pulled over and you're given a ticket of some kind.
Right.
But that's, the argument that I've heard, why legalize something else that's just going to be a problem? And part of the legalization process they're talking about in the voting is to provide money to help people stop using marijuana, just like they do for stop using tobacco, to stop gambling, to stop using alcohol.
I don't like over-regulation about anything. Like, I think we human beings, let's consider that we're smart enough to know what we're doing. Some people aren't. But if people want to do that, then let them. I just don't see the point in the government getting involved with that part. Legalize it, tax it, use the money for building bridges and roads and whatever.
I care less. I could care less what an adult puts in their system. And I'm serious. If they inject it with a needle, I could care less. What I care about is when my tax dollars and your tax dollars and everybody else's tax dollars goes to taking care of these people and their children due to their poor decisions.
Their addictions or whatever.
They're clueless. They're making bad decisions. I'm paying for it. If they wanted to put something into their system and it doesn't affect me, go for it. You'd go out and lay in the street. We'll pick you up, throw you in the back of a meat wagon, and we'll take care of you. But that's not the way it is. And that's the unfortunate thing about any of these substances. We end up taking care of people because of abuse of the system. And I guess that's my problem.
But then people are going to use it. People who are inclined are going to use it anyway, right? They're going to have a wink, wink back problem or whatever, and they're going to find a way to use it. So, I mean, I don't know. I think the part you're talking about is important. I do see that. I see addiction affecting people's lives and their kids and their employment and all that stuff. But I don't know. What do you do about that?
Well, the thing is, if we're going to tax it, if you're going to legalize it and tax it, at least then you can help pay for, the hospitals or whatever, because not all the money is going to go back into marijuana. But then, you know, then goes the next thing. Well, then if we're going to do that, why don't we just legalize some of these other drugs so we can get the money off that? So at least we can treat the people and help take care of their families. Because it's not the person putting it in. I could care less. It's their little 2-year-old and 3-year-old kids that we end up taking care of. They've already got 2 strikes against them with addicted parents. But what are you going to do? You can't not take care of them. We got to take a break. This is Carl Lundebot. Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Donnie Greenberg. This is KCNR 1460.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest today is Donnie Greenberg. Hey, expect a wet week in Northern California as the storm front pushes through the area. It's about 45 degrees. Bring your umbrella. It's going to be probably in the between the 40s and the 50s all week long. We have some friends that are going to be visiting us from Tennessee, and I know they're back there in the ice storm. They said, how should we dress? I said, well, you know, between 40s and 50s, they say, well, you know, when it's 20 below, that's going to be some great weather. Our guest today is Donnie Greenberg, as we said, 605-4567. We have about 5 minutes left in the program. Closing thoughts, Donnie.
Yikes.
Whoa!
Well, I want to say one thing about a newscafe.com that, and when we were talking about newspapers earlier, I think one thing that's cool about online, and I mean, my heart breaks for newspapers because that's where I came from. And I have people who are friends who still work at the paper. But the thing that's cool about newscafe.com or a lot of online places is that you don't kill trees every day to put out a paper. And by the time the news gets there, it isn't old. It hasn't like taken all day to write and then put up on the press and the presses, and then you have to deliver it and put it on the front porch someplace, and then it's old news by then. So I think it's the new frontier of journalism, and I don't think just because newspapers are going away that journalism will go away.
Oh, no, I agree with that. And although I do like to go online and read about what's happening and go to the various, like in my news, I'll do Google and USA, New York Times. And
you can just zip around, huh?
I zip around. Mm-hmm. But I am still old school in the fact that I, on a Sunday, I love to pore over the paper. I like the feel of a coffee and page by page, mm-hmm. pouring over the pages. I don't know, maybe
I like
I'm,
to look through the ads.
Do you?
Well, you know, I'll start out with the front page, then I'll go to opinion and, you know, laugh. And
what about cartoons?
Cartoons, I go there. But you know what? I'm a little bit upset because the cartoon quality has gone down, I think, in the last 60 years.
What's your favorite cartoon?
I like Dilbert.
I love
you know,
Dilbert.
Dilbert has got to be the best because I have seen so many things. Doonesbury is definitely not my favorite. Mm-hmm. Why is Doonesbury in the funnies when on the rest of the week it's in the opinion page? Because some of the things that comes out in Doonesbury, try to explain that to your kids.
My favorite went
it's
away.
It's not an opinion. I mean, it's not a funny.
What was yours?
Far Side.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was great.
I like Pearls Before Swine, too.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, that is Kathy
well,
is good. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, as Far Side, we have Bad Bob, which is very close to having Far Side right here.
What is Mallard Fillmore?
Oh, that's the other side to that's the conservative side, as opposed to Doonesbury, which takes a more liberal side. I don't think I've seen Doonesbury really going after sitting presidents yet. He may have said a couple of things. Hmm. He's been
That's a good off. Question, though. I guess if you're sitting down and you've got a 30-minute interview, what's your favorite cartoon? Kind of tell us something about.
That's true. Like I stereotyped, I thought because you're a military guy, Carl, that Beetle Bailey would be.
Beetle Bailey has nothing to do with the military.
Doesn't it? Aren't they all like?
No.
No.
Oh, aren't they all? Okay, let me tell you.
I'm sorry.
You know, let me tell you Donnie Greenberg's first words out of her mouth to me when she met me.
Oh,
she
God.
She says, you know, this was well over a year ago.
Hey, I think we're running out of time, Carl.
No, we still got 2 minutes. She goes, wow, you've been in 4 wars, and you seem so normal. And I thought, wow, and you're blonde, and yet you seem to be able to put a sentence together.
I'm a brunette, man.
Well, I know, but see, I could have said that, but I just went, oh, okay.
That was a very insensitive thing for me to say.
Because,
you know, to think of somebody being in a war, I mean, it's mind-altering. It's
and life-changing.
Well,
yeah,
if you come back.
It is. You know? And, you know, your son
Sorry,
is a,
I want
was
to
a Marine.
Semper Fi, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Your son's a Marine, and he's doing well.
He's doing great.
And
he's
a hero.
Construction
and
business. Yeah.
And you helped start the families for
Families Honoring Our Troops.
Families Honoring Our
Congratulations
Troops.
Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
So that's
we're big supporters of the troops.
That's an oorah for you.
Yeah. Oorah.
So, yeah.
Sorry about that, Carl.
You seem so normal. I just went,
I'm glad you're over that.
You know, I almost took out my K-bar and just stuck it in the middle of the table there. I went, yeah, I'm normal.
I noticed you haven't sat down the whole time. He stands up the whole time.
I do. I stand.
Just so you can dance.
That's so I can dance and I can play the air guitar.
He likes the pace and he likes it. Yeah,
that's right. You know, why, you know.
His chest is really.
I've learned that if you kind of keep moving, it's harder to hit you.
Moving target.
Moving target.
It's been great having you on today.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you. And you're going to have Jim Dyer on Friday.
Yes, we are.
He's going to call in and talk to us about entertainment.
Oh, he knows entertainment.
Or whatever. I said a movie, a restaurant, whatever. Whatever tickles your fancy.
Yeah, he has Jim's picks on our website.
Yeah.
It's great.
He's what a wonderful talent.
Yeah, he is.
And then, of course, tomorrow, Kent Dagg.
Yeah.
We're going to talk the Radical 10 ideas. I would expect there's going to be some comments about that. They had some ideas that were adopted by the city council and some that weren't. Or, especially the selling marijuana, I think, was one of them. But the other one was, let's raise taxes. So we should have a good time with that. We're also going to be having, like we said, the chairman of the Democratic Steering Committee here on Wednesday.
And Jerry Bonito.
You know, Jerry was right in here. Jerry's ready to, he's in a fight for the Shasta County District Attorney's job, and he's ready to fight. He's up and ready. He's ready to defend what he's done and where he's going.
Well, congratulations on A News Cafe and 40,000 viewers and a successful
and growing.
We love your spot.
We'll have to link up here.
And good luck. I think we should.
You.
We'll talk later.
Yeah.
And congratulations to you too.
Right. Well, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.